Now, as we continue with our studies in the book of Genesis, we're going to look today at chapter 27, and I trust we shall learn some important lessons from this chapter. I like to term this chapter the House of Disorder. Throughout the book of Genesis, God is dealing with men and their families. You remember there was Adam and his family. There was Noah and his family. Then there's Abraham and his family. Now here there is Isaac and his family. Later on it will be Jacob and his family. So God is dealing with men and their families. But here in chapter 27, we have the breakup of family life. In this chapter, there is the demonstration of natural desires and differing devices, without any regard to the will of God or any consideration regarding the after effects of the deeds that are committed. Before we look at some of the lessons to be learned from this chapter, let us bow in prayer. Our Father, we come to Thee solemnly today, knowing that the chapter we're about to study is one that brings conviction to all our hearts. Wilt Thou give us the hearing ear, the understanding heart, and the submissive will? Bless Thy holy name today, and exalt Thy Son through this broadcast for His own name's sake. Amen. Now, there are four things I want you to note in connection with this chapter, and I trust you will find time at home to read through the chapter and examine these things in the privacy of your own home. There are four people to come before us because it's a home, it's a house. There is Isaac the father, there is his son Jacob, and his other son, Esau. And then there is the mother, whose name is Rebekah. As we study Isaac the father, he is marked by declension. So we shall note declension in Isaac. In studying Jacob, his son, he is marked by deception. So there is deception in Jacob. Esau, the man who despised the birthright in the previous chapter, is marked in this chapter by despair, for he loses the blessing. So there is despair in Esau. When we look at Rebekah, the mother, she is marked by distress. So take note of these things. Declension in Isaac, deception in Jacob, despair in Esau, and distress in Rebekah. It's what I call the house of disorder. Remember that Jacob, who is going to take a prominent place in the chapters to follow, is seen here in this house of disorder, where he gets what we might term a poor start in life. The chapter begins by saying, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. He said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold now, I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, go out to the field and take me some venison. Make me savory meat such as I love. Bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, "Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savoury meat, that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock. Fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savoury meat for thy father such as he loveth. Thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me. Thou shalt seem to him as a deceiver. Thou shalt bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. He went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savoury meat such as his father loved. Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. She put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. She gave the savoury meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. Let us pause there in the reading for a moment or two and begin to learn some of the lessons. First of all, we examine the man called Isaac. I pointed out in a former study that the curtain seems to be brought down on the latter years of Isaac's life. Nothing for God. Here in the opening verse of chapter 27, it says, His eyes were dim. Here is the man who was the head of the house, but unfortunately he is losing his vision. Now, if we take the physical to illustrate the spiritual, then we see Isaac in a state of spiritual declension. He has failed to order his sons in chapter 26, and now seeks to frustrate the divine purpose. This is the important thing we must note from these opening verses. You may read these verses, and if you just read them in a casual manner, you may come to the conclusion there's nothing wrong with them. It's just a picture of an old man lying in bed. He wants something to eat. He's got a special desire. And his son Esau is able to meet this desire. And so he tells his son to go get the venison and make him savory meat. Now that seems all right. But then you'll notice why he does it. He says, so that my soul may bless thee before I die. He's anxious now to bless Esau. Now remember this. A proper study of chapter 25 and 26 will teach us this. That God had indicated that the elder would serve the younger. That is, the blessing was to come to Jacob. Now, you'll notice here I have said that this is a house of disorder. In plain words, you'll find here that referring to Esau, Esau was his son. When you refer to Jacob in verse 6, is Jacob her son? Could you think of something in a greater disorder than this? A father and a mother, and they've got twin boys. Yet the father favors one, and the mother favors the other. Plain words, showing respect. Now, here we notice first of all then that Isaac is moved with a natural desire. Isaac had a very special appetite for the savory meat prepared by Esau, his son, and expresses his desire for it, so that his affection for his son Esau may be stimulated. That seems to be the thought behind this idea. If he could stimulate his affection for his son, there's the natural devotion. See, Isaac loved Esau because that his son supplied the savory meat which satisfied his natural appetite. And so he expresses more devotion for Esau than he did for Jacob. Esau seemed to have been his favorite son, while deep down in his soul he knew that God's blessing was supposed to go to Jacob. So therefore, since there's the natural desire for this particular food, and there's the natural devotion for his son Esau, he thinks of this device. If Esau could satisfy the natural appetite of Isaac, then Isaac was prepared to pronounce a blessing upon his favorite son, even although this was contrary to God's pronouncement, as found away back in chapter 25, verse 23. Now, to try and summarize then the lesson to be learned from this little portion, it's this. In Isaac there was declension. In plain words, that which was spiritual was being pushed to one side, and Isaac was being governed by that which was natural, a natural desire, natural devotion, the natural device. Now, it proves to us this, that even the best of us can make mistakes. Instead of being guided by that which is spiritual, we may be guided by that which is natural, and when a person who professes to be a Christian fails to live as a spiritual person and lives according to the curse of nature, the Bible calls him a carnal man. That's what was wrong in the church at Corinth. That's why they had to be rebuked, because they were living in a carnal condition. And it is possible for those who may be saved, may be Christians all right, but they don't live like Christians. They are governed by things that are carnal. Now, we turn our attention to Jacob. For Jacob is going to occupy a great place in the book of Genesis. We'll find later on he's the man whose name is changed to Israel. Now, there's deception in Jacob. He was a deceiver. Let's face this. This deception commenced with a sinful plot. The plot was to deceive Isaac. Can you think of a mother getting her son to agree with her in order to deceive her husband and getting the boy, the son, to deceive his father? To begin with, Jacob wasn't too sure, but he became a party in the crime, and in order to carry this plot through, there had to be some skillful preparation. The food had to be prepared, 2 kids of the goats, prepared in a special way in order to make it taste like venison stew. But it seems that Rebecca knew how to do this, and then he had to be dressed up with a garment that belonged to his brother, which would smell in a particular way because it would be the anointed garment, the garment of the firstborn. And so there was the preparing of the food to represent what Isaac requested, and also the wearing of the camouflage, because not only did he wear the garment to make him feel like Esau and smell like Esau, but she put the skins of the goats around his hand and over his neck, so that actually he would feel like Esau. He was still Jacob, but going into his father's presence, he was to appear like his brother Esau. Now, when he went in there, the first thing I learned about him was this: he was a liar. Here's what we read in verse 19, "And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn." See, his father had asked him, "Who art thou, my son?" Remember, his father was blind, so to speak, couldn't see. "Who art thou, my son?" He said, "I am Esau, thy firstborn." He was a liar. He wasn't Esau at all. He was Jacob. This was a deliberate falsehood. It was deception by word of mouth. Now, could you imagine any person being prepared to sink to that low level? To tell lies to his own father, to deceive his own father. This is the man that's introduced to us here, so to speak. And you know, God is going to work with this man later on and make him a prince of God. But see what he is by nature. Not only was he a liar, he was a hypocrite. Jacob acted the hypocrite. He used the name of the Lord in connection with his deception. In verse 20, Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." That wasn't true. He actually went out and took two little kids of the goats. Yet he pretended he had gone out and he had come back with venison. You see, he was a man who was an absolute hypocrite, a man using the name of the Lord in vain. Now, my friend, do you know what a hypocrite is? A hypocrite is one who pretends to be what he's not. He used the name of the Lord here, and the Lord had nothing to do with it. Then Jacob was a deceiver. He was pretending to be the favorite son by wearing the garment and the gloves. That was deception. And then Jacob was a thief. He was obtaining under false pretenses that which naturally belonged to another. You see then why I say that when Jacob is pictured to us in this chapter, he is marked by deception. What kind of a home would that be to live in, where the old father is marked by declension, drifted away from spiritual standards? His son Jacob, his youngest son, marked by deception, deceiving his old father. Of course, his mother was a party to it. Now, our attention is drawn to Esau. In Esau, there is despair. Now remember, Esau despised spiritual privileges. We learned that in chapters 25 and 26. Esau despised the spiritual privileges. He didn't want the birthright. So since he had already despised his birthright and placed no value upon the spiritual privileges attached to the birthright, you'll see how he had despised these things. Then he forsook spiritual principles. At the end of chapter 26, we saw how he married two wives from among the inhabitants of Canaan and brought grief to his parents. So he really was walking the path of rebellion against the things of God. He was despising spiritual privileges. He forsook spiritual principles. And we also find Esau hated spiritual people, because that Jacob placed a value upon the birthright and upon the blessing and obtained them, then Esau hated his own brother and threatened his life. Now, after that Jacob had partaken of the food prepared by Jacob, then in came Esau. And when Esau came near and came in, there was trouble. It came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac his father said unto him, "Who art thou?" He said, "I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Now where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed." When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." He said, "Thy brother came with subtlety, hath taken away thy blessing." He said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright." Now notice, he doesn't say here that he despised the birthright. He simply says, "He took away my birthright. And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing." He said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, "Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. What shall I do now unto thee, my son?" And Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. I want you to notice that, my friend. He wept when it was too late. He had despised the birthright. He sold it for a mess of pottage. Now he's lost the blessing. You and I may stand and condemn Jacob for the manner in which he obtained the blessing, but the fact of the matter is, he got it. He got the blessing and it cannot be transferred. If he had waited God's time, he would have got the blessing, I'm sure, but he wanted to get it. However, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob. Now the fact of the matter is, his father lived for well over 20 years after this, but he thought at that time his father was about to die. And he said, when the time of mourning is past, I'll take revenge on my brother, I'll slay my brother Jacob. And you see, if he was to slay his brother Jacob, then he would get the blessing. But then the mother is listening, and you turn your attention now from the father, and from the two boys, from the two sons, and you turn your attention to Rebecca, the mother. She was to blame for an awful lot of this. There's distress here. These words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said, and behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran. Tarry with him a few days. Now take note of that. She says, go a few days. When Jacob goes, he's away for over 20 years, and he never saw his mother again. The old homestead is broken up and was never reunited. She says, go and tarry in your uncle's house just for a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? In plain words, she's saying, if her husband was to die, she would lose him. And then if her son Esau was to kill her favorite son Jacob, she'd be deprived of him also. She'd lose two of them in one day. Now Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? See, distress in Rebekah. There's the fruit of the past. Rebekah had for years sown seeds. Now the harvest was beginning to ripen. Her subtle methods could not further the purposes of God, just as Isaac's methods could not frustrate the will of God. Not only has she to look now and reap the fruit of the past, there's the fear of the future. Afraid lest she should lose Isaac, her husband. She would lose him by death, and then lose Jacob, her favorite son, by murder. All the troubles are coming home. She plans to have Jacob sent away just for a few days, of course. However, as I have indicated, after that she never meets Jacob again. She actually dies before Isaac or Jacob. Little verses, oh, the tangled web we weave, when first we practice to deceive. This deception disrupted and divided this home, and this family circle was never again reunited. You see, it is the breakup of the home. That's why I call this the house of disorder. And God is going to take Jacob out of the house of disorder. He's going to work with Jacob, and he's going to make Jacob into the man that he ought to be. But remember, Jacob had a poor beginning, a black background, brought up in a home where the father was marked by declension, brought up in a circle where he himself was taught how to deceive, living with a brother who lived in despair and threatened his life. Lived in a home where his own mother was torn apart with distress, all because that God was left out of the reckoning. Let us take the warning.